Turn with me here this morning to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. That will be to the left of the Hebrews. It's a little five-chapter book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I almost had my place. And while I'm getting to my place here, you know, speaking about the storms, that was a great song. I thank you for choosing that one here this morning. It's easy when other people are going through storms, isn't it? But boy, when you're going through them, it's a different story. The Lord is certainly teaching me compassion, sympathy, and empathy. And my storm isn't going to be over until I got them all down pat. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse number 13. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Again, I'm going to be reading out of an NASB, a New American Standard Bible here this morning. God's word says this: "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, all of your scripture is useful for teaching, encouraging, rebuking, and training the man or woman in the ways of God. This scripture is no exception. We want to learn from this, Lord. We want to grow from this. And we want this scripture to speak to us. So, Father, I ask that you bless the words that I'm about to speak. But more than that, Lord, I ask that these words that were just read just penetrate our hearts with your truth. We trust you. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we continue one more Sunday in the sermon series on end times. We are into something called eschatology. Eschatology is the study of what the Bible teaches is going to happen in end times. Once again, the purpose of what we cover in this series is to introduce you to views and beliefs of what other Christians believe to be sound eschatology. There are many different views. My intentions are not to change what you may presently believe. My intentions are not to argue with what you may presently believe, and my intentions are not to force any of my beliefs down your throat. Again, the purpose of this series is to let you know that not everyone may believe the same way you do about end times. Next week, we're going to conclude this series with a review of all the different views that I have covered over these 4 weeks. But for this morning, I want to cover three more views that are circulating in Christian circles and are probably the most popular today. Let's start with me just telling you a little history. Up until the year 1830, the only views of end times were the ones that we have covered the past 2 weeks. Either you were a preterist, either a full preterist or a partial preterist, or you were a premillennialist, or you were a postmillennialist, or you were an amillennialist. Those were pretty much your choices. But in 1830, a man by the name of John Nelson Darby introduced a new view of eschatology. Let me tell you a little bit about John Nelson Darby. He was born in London, and he was schooled in Ireland. He became a lawyer first, and then he became an Anglican priest. He introduced to Christianity something called, big word, dispensationalism. Well, what is that? Well, dispensationalism is a belief that teaches that God has related to human beings in different ways under different biblical covenants in a series of dispensations or periods in history. Well, what would those periods of history be? Well, I actually have them listed there in your bulletin, and you can kind of read along with me. Some dispensationalists have 8 dispensations. Most go by the 7 that are listed there in your bulletin. These are the ones that John Nelson Darby come up with. And the first dispensation would be the dispensation of innocence, Genesis 1 through 2. And that would be Adam and Eve and before the fall of man. The second one, the dispensation of conscience, Genesis 3 through 8, which is the first sin through the flood. Third dispensation, the one of civil government, Genesis 9 through 11, which is after the flood. The dispensation of promise, Genesis 12 through Exodus 19, and that would be Abraham, the call of Abraham to Moses. Then we have the dispensation of law, which is Exodus 20 through Acts chapter 2, verse 4, which would be Moses to the beginning of the church age. Then you have the dispensation of grace, which is Acts chapter 2, verse 5, through Revelation, verse 20, verse 3, which is the cross, or the start of the church, actually, to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then the final dispensation, as listed by Mr. Darby, would be the millennial kingdom, which is Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, and then beyond, which is the rule of Christ on earth in the millennial kingdom. So we have these 7 dispensations, and according to Mr. John Nelson Darby, he said that God interacts with people in different ways throughout these dispensations. So other than these dispensations, which might sound kind of confusing in and of themselves, what do these dispensationalists actually believe? Well, there's many different things they believe. I try to simplify it the best that I could with our 3 fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletins this morning. And this first one is very, very, well, actually all 3 are very critical. But the first one would say this. A dispensationalist believes that Israel and the church are 2 separate and distinct entities. They believe that Israel and the church are 2 separate and distinct entities. A dispensationalist will, however, as part of the church, show true concern for the nation Israel. And you may see that on TV today. You may see that on websites today. There is a dispensationalist organization called Christians for Israel International. And they want you and I to fund their organization because they want all Jews that are living in other lands other than Israel to return back home to their native land of Israel. Why do they want that to happen? Because they stand by Isaiah chapter 43, verses 5 and 6, which says this: I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and in the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That is what the passage from Isaiah says. Well, this particular website, Christians for Israel International, which is www.c4israel.org, says this on their homepage, and I quote, it says this: help us in this exciting fulfillment of biblical prophecy, end quote. Wait a second. Sounds like the postmillennialists that we talked about last week. Let's help usher in the kingdom of God, the second coming of Christ, by doing good things. It's almost the Abraham and Sarah syndrome. We're too old, so let's figure out a way how to have a child by ourselves. Let's not let God do it. Let's make sure that we do it. That's kind of one of the problems I have with that organization. But anyways, that's what they stand for. Let's bring all the Jews back to Israel. And let's make sure that we make prophecy happen. I believe God makes prophecy happen. That's just my own personal view. Fill in the blank number two. Let's move on. A dispensationalist believes in a literal 7-year tribulation and a literal 1,000-year millennium kingdom. Turn with me for a second to the book of Revelation, the last book in your Bible, and let's go to chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. And let me give you an example of what they mean by the literal translation. I'm going to start reading at verse number 7. Revelation chapter 8. And I'm going to read just 3 verses for you here. 7, 8, and 9. Revelation chapter 8, 7, 8, and 9 says this. Let me start with verse 6. And the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. The first sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, if you are a dispensationalist, you take those passages literally. So in passages such as this, when it says that a third of the sea became blood, that's exactly what it means, that a third of the seas became blood. It says that a third of the ships were destroyed. So let's do a little bit of simple math, okay? A third of the ships were destroyed. Let's say, for instance, there were 300 ships out at sea. If a third of them were destroyed, how many would be destroyed? 100, a third of them. So a dispensationalist will take the book of Revelation as much as they can, very, very literally. The third point about a dispensationalist and dispensational theology, our third fill in the blank. A dispensationalist believes in the rapture of the church. If we would go back to the scripture that we read earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and I purposely read that, the dispensationalist will say this: that scripture is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. That scripture is Christ coming in the clouds and taking away those who are his, which would be us Christians. So the dead in Christ will rise first, those who are in the graves, and then all of us who are Christians will be caught up in the air, or the vernacular word would be rapture. We would be raptured out of here, and every Christian that's on the face of the earth will meet Jesus in the clouds. And this particular point gets back to our first point, where a dispensationalist will say that Israel and the church are two separate and distinct entities. And why is that important? I had to bring that out because of this thing called the rapture of the church. The church will be raptured away, will be caught away. And Israel, unbelieving Israel, will be left behind to face the wrath and judgment of God. Why? Because of their unbelief. John Nelson Darby's teachings on dispensationalism were picked up by an American theologian by the name of Cyrus Scofield in St. Louis. He, along with the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, they popularized these new teachings. Now, there's a chance that maybe somebody in the sanctuary here this morning might have a Darby study Bible, or even a Scofield study Bible. And if you do, I guarantee the references in that Bible, the commentary, will be dispensationalist in teaching. It will teach this kind of theology, the differences between Israel and the church, the literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, and the rapture of the church being caught away, snatched away, or carried away. The two main Protestant denominations that teach and adhere to dispensationalism will be the Baptists and the mainline Presbyterians. When I say mainline Presbyterian, I mean mostly the PCA and the PCUSA. Those two denominations will teach and uphold dispensational theology. But even the dispensationalists are divided into three camps. And that division is when the rapture of the church is going to occur relative to the 7 years of tribulation. So, now we have this whole thing called dispensationalism. I've kind of covered it very quickly. But there are people in this camp that fall into either they're here, or they're here. So let's talk about these folks over here in camp number one. These people over here would what we would call the pre-tribulation people, or the pre-tribbers. They believe the rapture of the church occurs first, and then the 7 years of tribulation, which will be followed by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then, after that, the thousand-year millennial kingdom, which is a literal thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. In this view, Christians, which would be the church, which would be people like us, will not be subject to any of God's wrath, any of God's tribulation, because the church is caught away, raptured away, before any of the tribulation occurs. So that's what these pre-tribbers believe. Back in the late 1990s, there was a book series called Left Behind by the author Tim LaHaye. You may have read the whole series or read part of the series. I know Gail and I think we have the whole series at home. It was a fictional story based on this pre-tribulation view of dispensational theology. The series really helped to popularize this view of camp number one, this view of eschatology. At the time of the rapture, if you did not believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, you would be left behind, and therefore the name of the series. But not everybody is a pre-tribber, even though you could be a dispensationalist. We have camp number two here, and these people here are what we call the mid-tribulation people, or the mid-tribbers. They believe that the rapture of the church does happen, but it happens midway through the 7 years of tribulation. You have 7 years of tribulation, and halfway through it, is when the rapture of the church would occur. Then it's followed by another 3.5 years, followed by the second coming of Jesus Christ, and then the literal millennial kingdom. In this view, Christians, again, the church, they will only have to suffer the first 3.5 years of this tribulation period of God's wrath. So we have those pre-tribbers, and we have mid-tribbers, and then we still have another group over here. These people are called the post-tribulation people, or the post-tribbers. Well, what do they believe? Pretty easy to figure out. They believe that there will be a rapture of the church, but it will be at the end of the 7 years of the tribulation. The rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ are still two separate and distinct events, but they happen very close in proximity in time. And that second coming of Christ will be followed by a literal millennial reign of Christ on the face of this earth, 1,000 years. In this view, this post-trib view, the church, all Christians, will suffer all 7 years of God's wrath. The pre-tribulation dispensational view. I hate all these big words. I wish they would make them a little bit smaller. But this pre-tribulation dispensational view of eschatology is by far the one view that many Christians know and believe in. If you were to go on out today and pull 1,000 Christians, what is their view of end times? They would probably, most would fall into this category right here. If you go to your local bookstore and if you're looking for a book that talks about end times, you will more than likely find book after book after book with the author giving his view on this view here, the pre-tribulation dispensationalist view of end times. And they will give you their view on what is literal in the book of Revelation and what the interpretation would be of any of the symbolic writings that we find in the book of Revelation. Chances are that if you are invited to a Bible study on end times, on eschatology, the person that is leading this Bible study will more than likely fall into this category over here. He or she will be a pre-tribulation dispensationalist, because by far that's where most Christians fall in their theology about end times. Let me just give you a quick list of some well-known preachers who buy into this pre-tribulation dispensational theology. John Hagee, Tim LaHaye, Charles Swindoll, Dave Hunt, Jack Van Impe, Billy Graham, Bill Bright, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, Chuck Smith, and my favorite pastor, John MacArthur. All of them, they're all pre-trib dispensationalists. So, that makes life a little interesting. There's three more views on end times. If you believe, and if you've been taught, and you buy into the rapture of the church, then you are a dispensationalist. It just depends on when you think the rapture of the church is going to occur. Before the tribulation, halfway through the tribulation, or after the tribulation. And just like every other view that we've covered over the past couple weeks, there is Bible scripture supporting each one. Well, next week, we're going to conclude this study on our overview of end times and this thing called eschatology. But here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ is coming back. Are you ready? Let's go to God in prayer.